Welcome to Inclusion for All Radio, a podcast and story sharing series that seeks to represent the voice of the poor and vulnerable groups in Nigeria. Our aim is to highlight the barriers that keep the poor excluded and advocate for their removal. Inclusion for All Radio, amplifying voices unheard. Hello, welcome. This is episode 14 of the Inclusion for All Radio podcast series. We are continuing to examine the impact of certain policy decisions announced in the last quarter of 2023 on Nigeria's financial inclusion ecosystem. I am Chidasa Collins-Ogbo, podcast host and the advocacy and communications lead at EFINA. On December 1, 2023, the Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, announced that it would freeze accounts without a bank verification number, BVN, or national identification number, NIN, from April 2024. This post-node debit or credit freeze would apply to all existing Tier 1 accounts or wallets without the BVN or NIN, limiting the ability of the account holders to make withdrawals, transfers, or debits without validated NIN or BVN. Prior to now, only Tier 2 and Tier 3 KYC accounts and wallet holders were required to have the BVN or NIN. Now banks have been restricted from opening new Tier 1 KYC accounts or wallets without a BVN or NIN. These measures were implemented by the CBN to strengthen the Know Your Customer, which is KYC, procedures in financial institutions across Nigeria to promote financial system stability. However, at Inclusion for All, we know that a lack of documentation, precisely ID, is a critical barrier to accessing financial services in the formal sector, and it's more pronounced in the marginalized communities. Data from the 2023 EFINA Access to Finance Survey shows that 29% of Nigerians do not have a NIN, compared to 40% in 2020. However, 51% of Nigerians don't have the BVN, and that percentage remains the same since 2020. This suggests that having a BVN is more difficult than having a NIN. 58% of those that don't have the NIN, which is the NIN or BVN, fall into the poor to poorest brackets and are predominantly in the north. This data suggests that over 40% of the population in Nigeria are at risk of financial exclusion should they fail to enroll by the deadline. The unintended impact of the implementation could potentially deepen exclusion of marginalized communities and adversely impact their livelihoods. As we seek to unpack what this regulatory move means for vulnerable Nigerians, episode 14 remains focused on the formal exclusion threat to vulnerable Nigerians from the NIN BVN Tier 1 KYC requirement lens. And joining me in this conversation to unpack the challenges and the issues and what this means for the poorest is Mr. Serafadin Fasasi, who is the national president of the Association of Mobile Money Agents in Nigeria, AMBAN, and he is also the managing director of an agent network management company. Welcome, Mr. Fasasi. It's a pleasure to have you on this episode of Inclusion for All Radio. I'm looking forward to having you unpack what this NIN BVN Tier 1 KYC requirement means for expanding and deepening financial inclusion, especially for the poorest groups in Nigeria.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think we need to first commend the effort of the Central Bank of Nigeria.
Absolutely.
For trying to ensure financial stability.
Yes.
And putting up a lot of measures, you know, for us to actualize it. Having acknowledged that, I think most of the policies are good and fantastic,
yeah,
and they are in good faith. But implementation are usually the challenge,
mm-hmm,
with most of our policies.
Yes.
We need to also unbundle this because when we are looking at policy from from bottom up.
Yes.
It's more clearer than mm-hmm. the boardroom approach.
Mm-hmm.
The angle at which, because we are the last mile,
yes.
we have this understanding. And luckily enough, the data from EFINA is also pointing to the fact that the gap are so wide.
Fantastic.
And we have to be logical about the implementation.
Correct.
So today, we need to look at two critical issues.
Okay.
Number one is who should link the KYC? Whose responsibility should be linking KYC with the existing bank accounts?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of Nigerians today, about 1.4 million Nigerians have
the NIN. Correct.
So, and the NIN are with an agency of the government, which mm-hmm. is NIMC.
Yes.
So you don't need to trouble them, pulling them out of their, you know, homes and rural areas,
mm-hmm.
and to go and go to the bank and start validating.
Absolutely.
When we can digitize all this.
And these are for the people that we know have the NIN already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the first stage.
Yes.
They need to automate this so that an agency of government can talk to their agency of the government.
Yes.
The banks can call an API of mm-hmm. NIMC and you know, link anything they need to do and update anything
backend.
Because they have those things. So we shouldn't cause confusion in that area. So then the same thing with NIPS. You can, the banks are integrated with NIPS today. That one is even easier.
Yes.
So they can call it up and without you know troubling the masses of our people.
Absolutely.
Considering where most of the people are, the bank branches are far, very far away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Over 300 local government out of 774 local government in Nigeria, they don't have bank branches.
Wow.
So
that's a huge number.
How do they access all this? So that mm-hmm. is a fundamental question. Now let us now go to the new enrollments.
Yes.
Now today there is no the access point they are challenged. They are challenged with the access point of both BVN and NIN.
Mm.
The channel and the access point. The two of them, they have issues at that today.
Wow.
The NIN was able to record 104 million within the space of 2 years because before 2021. We're at 45 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
So between 2021, what the NIMC has done, the magic they have done to achieve from 45 to 104 million,
mm-hmm.
was they involved the front-end partners, the
yes,
private partners,
the front-end
the agents.
Partners. Yes.
You know, so they extended to agent network and we onboarded a lot of agents for them. They were able to reach that number,
mm-hmm.
but that has changed today because all those agent locations have been deactivated since last August. So about 15,000 devices of NIMC, mm-hmm. almost about over 10,000 of it are under the FEPs, the front end partners, and they are not they are not active as of today. They have been shut down.
So is NIMC, I'm just trying to understand because like you rightly said, that was definitely a model that accelerated enrollments for NIN. And
yeah.
So if there are these deadlines, which I believe NIMC is also aware of, so there's this one for the BVN, then there's also the NIN SIM ban as well. And I just wonder if NIMC do they have like an alternative method for enrolling outside of the front-end enrollment partners, which we have seen that has worked, or what is the plan?
I think most of these policies are sort of a unilateral decision from CBN. It was not an industry decision. We hardly checked.
So you believe that other stakeholders were not carried along?
Because NIN was not ready. I mean, NIMC is not even ready as of today. When they were fixing that deadline, NIMC was still revalidating. Up to today, they are still revalidating front-end partners. They are, and they are migrating. They have abandoned the Windows channel to mobile channel of NIN delivery. As I speak to you today,
yes,
they are still at the testing stage.
Wow.
So, and there is a deadline to lock all bank accounts in few days to come.
So it means that deadline is not realistic.
It's not. But you know, it's an instruction. If nothing happens, the banks are already sending messages out that they are going to, you know, PN your accounts. And I think it's also not fair.
No, it's not. And yeah, so from your engagement with the last mile, giving these directives and understanding what the challenges are, the gaps are, you know, what is the reaction from these groups of people? And I'm talking about it from a trust perspective, GC. So if I know that I don't have a NIN and I'm being told that for me to have a bank account and get, I must have a NIN or BVN, and I know that the limit is my access to those touch points are limited, then maybe I'm probably just not going to be interested in that whole formal system of banking, or there's no incentive. Then even worse are the people who are in the tier one brackets, right? That prior to now didn't require that level of identification. And we've managed to convince them to come into the formal sector. Then they're faced with this. They don't have access to their funds. That, to me, is going to significantly impact on their trust levels. Are you getting that sort of sense from interacting with these people already?
Yeah, of course. The trust levels have been bastardized since cash redesign policy.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people are not... keeping their funds in the bank, and that's why you when you look at the books of the banks, you don't see deposits. I imagine I was checking through a particular record of a particular branch, and their deposits was the agent location deposit was not more even than that.
Wow.
So people do, you know, we have actually been using policies to exclude the masses of the financial.
So it's counterproductive.
Yeah, it's counterproductive. And I think the subsequent data will show that, because this current FINA data was before that catastrophe. Yeah. So I think most of the recent data will show that we are seriously in trouble. And okay, we are even talking about the tier one.
Yes.
Now. And imagine also the wallets, not just tier one, also all the fintech companies, all the MMOs.
Yes, you know? Because those are minimal KYC. So if they're mandating NIN or BVN for all of those easy access channels, then...
It's going to turn out that. Then also on BVN.
Yes.
Even on tier two and tier three, where, because the policy state said that it is now mandatory for tier two and tier three to have both BVN and NIN.
Hasn't that always been the case?
No, it hasn't always been the case. It has always been one of them, either of them. I mean, even it has always been BVN.
Now let me just clarify. You know, for the upper tiers of KYC, tier two and tier three, the expectation used to be have a government-owned sort of government type of ID, a formal ID. So are you saying that if I'm a tier two or tier three account holder, and even if I have my international passport as my form of ID, I still need to have my NIN?
That's the policy now. You have to have both your NIN and
NIN
BVN
and
on
BVN.
The same account. Oh. And there is a technical issue there. Because for a NIN and BVN to be link and profile for a particular customer, the data set in NIN and BVN must be the same,
and that's not the case.
It's a very serious trouble. You will need what we call modification service to align the data sets, because most of us, because the BVN are long time ago, a lot of people are not married as at that time.
So
a lot of people are using different phone numbers as at that time.
Yes.
So there is a need for an update, and that is what we call modification service. That modification service today is not anywhere. For BVN is at the head office of NIMS, and for NIMC is at their head office that is controlling that service. So
So even for this modification, there should have been time, and this is talking about implementation of these policies. Even for that modification exercise in itself, there should have been some time allocated to it, right? From what I'm hearing you say, and it's not a 1 month, 2 month,
timeline. Because if we are to go by 1 month, 2 months, let us look at the calculation.
Yes.
As of today, we have about 58 million NIN. To cover the gap to cover.
Yes, yes.
We have about 118 BVN to cover. And for BVN, the only channel for BVNs are today, the major channel are the bank branches. And in the last report, what they could deliver in a month is 500 enrollments. So that means they can only deliver 6 million in a year. And that will take that before they can cover the gap of 180 million.
Wow. That sounds far-fetched.
It's not realistic, except there is something deliberate. We need to first of all be looking at channel of delivery first.
Yes.
It is very, very fundamental. Channel of delivery is number one. But when we don't do that, channel of delivery is number one. So when we don't do that,
you have to take. You moved away from the mic, so it sounded very faint, and we heard your key jingle.
Okay. So
you're saying channel of delivery.
Channel of delivery is what we need to first of all work on before we start. Fixing a deadline.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I think that's important for both NIN and BVN. Obviously, there are no channels. There are no alternative channels apart from the government channel, which is inadequate to cover the gap.
So, Mr. Fasasi, based on your experience and just in other claims, and if you know of any where this sort of policy has been implemented, I'm just thinking, because we're talking about KYC here, why is the NIN not sufficient, just given the nature of what the NIN is supposed to be, foundational ID for all Nigerians? And so every Nigerian, basically, that's the data that tell, or the biodata that tells us that they are who they say they are. And every other sort of form of functional ID feeds off of that foundational information. Why is Nigeria insisting on the NIN and BVN?
Anyway, it's a generational issue.
Okay.
Look, we have been battling with multiplicity of identity
ID.
For
long. Correct.
And at a point, they were trying to align.
Yes.
And that was what made them to narrow down. Okay, they narrowed down to both NIN and BVN.
Yes.
And I think where we got it wrong was the fact that we separated our payment system from our identity system. So unlike the case of country like India. Where everything is on this, as you are getting your SIM card, you are getting an account number. As you are getting the phone, you are getting an account number. So it's a PAC system. So we don't have that. And we now need to journey into that. That is what is very, very important. And for us to do that, we need to also agree that you cannot deliver that with a government structure. You have to. And that is, okay, imagine the magic that has, you don't change your winning strategy. What has worked for us in NIN was abandoned because of they couldn't pay the agent. They are holding them over 3 years of
which in itself was already a challenge too, in terms of reaching the hard,
So it didn't encourage them to go along with that strategy. So, which is working, which has been working.
Definitely worked, yes.
So I think there is a need for a way power, to force everybody in the direction of what works.
I agree. And so speaking to the efforts that AMBAN has been putting in to ensure that, the poor don't get further excluded. I know that there was a launch of financial inclusion centers in different locations to address some of the challenges. Can you just talk us through how that works and how, and given the very tight timelines and the constraints, you know, what is the expectation? How is that working to close the gap, if at all?
Okay. So we realize that advocacy is an option.
Yes.
And we have been doing that for long, but at the same time there is a need for intervention.
Absolutely.
And that was why we actually came up with, okay, let us also roll out this neighborhood financial inclusion to be deployed, having identified those local government areas without bank branches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let us also, you know, deploy special, you know, agents hubs into those local government, and that was the whole idea. And also to make, to now put all these services on a single point, one-stop shop, so that you don't need to be looking for bank branches or NIMC offices,
right,
or telco network office,
yes,
before you can get all this. So that was the idea about that. And we have been doing this. It's a sort of self-funding kind of a project, very capital intensive, but
we
wanted to do it. And we have reached out to enablers, NIPS and NIMC,
and NIMC.
Because we have professional agents certified by CIBA.
Right.
And, okay, for to man those centers.
Okay.
Okay, let them expose these services so that we can use it to cover the grant for them.
Yes.
While they are preparing for their own partners, we are still on that discussion and that conversation as of today. Then,
so you're saying this isn't active yet because you don't have the complete buy-in of NIMC and NIBS?
Of course, it's not active yet. Mm. It's not active yet. We are just at the angle we have also approached is to work with the Office of the Vice President.
Okay.
Who can actually, you know, have muster the, you know, political will.
Absolutely.
And drag and coordinate the elephant to come out.
You're right.
You know, of their shell and support our people in the rural area. So we have also looked at it that financial inclusion is not an agenda of financial institution alone.
No, it isn't.
It should be a stakeholder approach.
Yes.
And when you are talking of stakeholder, you're talking of the leadership of social institutions.
Absolutely.
The political head, the local government heads. And we have given them a sense of ownership that, oh, mobilize your people. Because if you know the number of people in political gathering, if you can convert them to be financially included, you have solved a lot of problems.
Absolutely.
So we are starting with Nasarawa State this Friday, and the governor has given his nod.
Okay.
Yeah, so Karo local government of Nasarawa. So this Friday, they are going to launch that, and we have been able to...
What are they launching? The...
Neighborhood Financial Inclusion Center.
Okay, and what do you do at that center? Do you enroll or just validate?
Yes, we are enrolling...
And validating.
DVN.
Okay.
DVN. We are also trying to see how we can patch NIMC in.
Okay.
To, because as of today, there is no channel for NIMC enrollment, NIN enrollment, except for the offices of NIMC.
Wow. Okay.
Mm.
Wow. So Nasarawa State is kicking off this.
It's kicking off, yes.
Fantastic. I think it's a great initiative. And like you said, moving from just advocating and, you know, implementing real interventions to get the kind of results that we're looking at. But clearly, these deadlines are definitely not going to work. Otherwise, we're going to be in for more issues than we planned for, as they call it, the unintended outcomes of the policy. And we're still recovering, if at all, from the Naira redesign implication.
Of course. Yeah. Because that really sets the industry back.
It did. Absolutely.
The trust level, we just have to...
It wanes
significantly. It's obvious in the volume of deposit at the banks.
Wow. Such a shame. Okay, so on that note, I think I would like to just ask, finally, what would your key recommendations be right now, given what you know, to the regulators, specifically now, I guess, the CBN and NIMC, I suppose, who are the key stakeholders in this conversation? What would your key recommendations be to them?
The recommendations should actually be, one, why are we in a rush?
Good question.
We shouldn't be in a rush. Nobody is forcing us to that. If we don't get it done in 1 month, then everything. We need to start learning organic model.
Yes.
Of implementing most of our policies. Mm-hmm. So I would say they need to shift that goalpost and okay. have a plan. Let us have a plan. This is where we are today.
Yes.
And want to join in the next 1 year.
So have this a roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then number two is that the banks should be instructed to just call the API of the existing database, KYC.
Okay.
And update it without asking the customer to come to banking or
exactly.
for verification again. So it's not important. Then we are also reaching out to NIPS and to quickly wrap up with their pilot, engage the private partners,
yes.
and increase the number of access points across Nigeria.
Absolutely. Fantastic recommendations. And I couldn't agree more with you. I think that with all of these in place, we would have reduced threats to the exclusion of the populations that we care about, which if this isn't done right, would cause further exclusion. So thank you very much, Mr. Fasasi, for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on this podcast.
It's a nice having you. Thanks for the honor.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for the great job you are doing in advocacy.
Thank you.
You know, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Inclusion for All continues to represent and amplify the voices of the most vulnerable populations by weighing in on topical financial inclusion related issues, using reliable data evidence to advocate for the removal of the barriers that keep them excluded from the formal sector. Continue to listen to Inclusion for All Radio for reliable updates and conversations about Nigeria's financial inclusion landscape. To learn more about the Inclusion for All advocacy initiative and to access more insightful data about financial inclusion for the marginalized groups in Nigeria, please visit our website, inclusion-for-all.org.